Welcome to our Sunday night family time together where we worship God, sing songs, and are inspired from God's Word. Whether you are in person and I am seeing your eyeballs, or whether you are out there in the ether and seeing only my eyeballs, we are certainly glad that you have decided to join us and participate in our worship and study of God's Word. We are going to be singing, I'm going to tell the theme tonight, we're going to be singing about family. And I'm going to do a little self-disclosure here to help. The idea of tonight's songs are double family, right? Because we are all a family from a certain point of view, but that doesn't take away from the family that we have at our house in addition to that. So when you're singing the songs, if you're thinking about your family that you're living with, then that is great. If you are able to switch back and forth and think about church and family, that's even better. And to help you out, the reason I did this was because I grew up in a three-bedroom house with six siblings, and we had one tiny bathroom. So I can tell you that there was not a lot of, let's see, there was a little bit of strife occasionally. And that's true of church and spiritual family as well as physical family. You know, we have to work at getting along. So these songs are talking about our family. Do we have words besides that? There we go. I'm going to sing this through twice.
If you want to participate in the round part, that's up to you, but I'm just going to sing through twice. And we can think about the love that the Father has for us as leader of our family. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us.
Thank you.
Our song before prayer is I Love You With the Love of the Lord.
Please love me with love.
Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us back together, Father. Thank you for giving us safe travels. Father, thank you for the many blessings that you give to us, Father, especially this family that you've given to us, this family that we find in you. Thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus, whom through him we have this family and this adoption. Father, we love you. We know that you love us. As we prepare to enter into Tim's lesson, Josh's lesson, I give him ready recollection of the material that he's prepared. Let's all be attentive and take this word and apply it to our daily lives. Father, thank you. Give us wisdom and give us direction and forgive us when we fall short. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
:30 will be our invitation song. We're going to sing this song through one time, and then we're going to have scripture reading, and then Josh is going to open God's word for us. I want to tell you a little bit more about my family. That goes to this song. There were three fathers and three mothers in our blended family. So I know a little bit about the difficulties of family. But the challenge is common love for each other. A common
passage selected by Josh is from John 10, verses 1 through 5. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers.
Good evening. I'm glad you guys came out here this evening. So glad to see all of you. Looks like we have a good crowd. You'll have to bear with me a little bit. My voice has been steadily on the decline since Thursday. So fortunately, I have the microphone. If I get really, really raspy, hopefully even with the microphone, you will still hear me. I thought Tim this morning was about to steal my thunder when he started with John chapter 10. I was like, please don't preach the same sermon as me. I did not confer. I was like, don't do this to me, Tim. He did not. We're going to look at John 10 perhaps from a different perspective than you've maybe thought about John 10 before. I'm not saying that there is a deeper meaning to John 10. We are going to look tonight at, are we shepherding at home? Are we shepherding at home? Because it turns out, you know what, good leadership, and good leadership qualities are good leadership qualities, whether it's you're a shepherd within the Lord's church and you're making those decisions, or whether you're a shepherd of your family, mom or dad, and you're shepherding your children through life and hopefully into the fold, and we're going to talk more about that. John 10, of course, Jesus, the good shepherd. We love talking about Jesus, the good shepherd. Don't we love thinking about Jesus as our good shepherd when we do stupid things? You know, a sheep is not a smart animal. You know, they'll just fall into a hole and just stay there, right? They'll fall into a creek and just drown. They're not smart animals. The shepherd is needed. And that's kind of how we see ourselves as humans sometimes, isn't it? Well, we do dumb things. So we need a savior like Jesus. We need a good shepherd like Jesus. That makes me feel good, and I really like that picture that Jesus paints for us as the good shepherd. But we're going to look at some of those attributes of shepherds tonight. How, if you're a parent, grandparent, or otherwise, you can maybe take some of these same ideas, or maybe we can put some of those into application. I started thinking about this. There was a book that I was reading called Connected by Brother Joe Wells, and this book kind of goes into some of the dangers associated with online things with our children, right? Protecting your children for some of these invisible online dangers that are out there on social media or some of the apps out there. What can we do to protect our families? And that's kind of the premise of this book, Connected. It's a pretty decent read. It's not a long book, but when he gets to chapter 6, he starts describing digital leadership, and he uses John 10. I'm like, John 10? And the more I read, the more it makes sense about the things that you're supposed to do as a parent, that I'm supposed to do as a parent, and I realized, wow, this is exactly what I need to be doing too. I found what he was saying to be very challenging to me, and I'm going to share some of his ideas with you. These are not my ideas. I am plagiarizing Joe Wells, so please, Brother Wells, please don't sue me. I'm endorsing your book. Maybe you'll sell more copies. These are some of his ideas as they relate to John 10. So when you think about your Christian homes, we can think in terms of shepherding our children. And just like, the leadership here in our shepherds. And as a parent, we're shepherds of those homes. So Jesus, the good shepherd, has given us some examples, of course, in everything, in all areas of life. And this happens to be one of them. So the first thing I'd like to contend, or that the author, Brother Wells, contends, is that leading my family means I must lead them into the fold. Leading my family means I must lead them into the fold. And Chig read this for us just a second ago. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. An important phrase there is leading them into the fold. Well, the fold is safety. The fold is security. The fold is nourishment and life. right? Jesus is leading us in this particular analogy. The fold is the church, and as parents, the fold's the church. Our number one goal, at least for my family, and I hope for yours, is to lead my sheep at home to the fold. So that's one of the ways that we have a similar mission that way, right? Just like Jesus, the Good Shepherd, parents as shepherds, we've got to lead them into the fold. And the responsibility with that for us comes in leading we've got to be a shepherd that our kids want to follow. Right? We've got to set that Christ-like example. And I pulled this quote word for word from Brother Wells. He said, "What if all your children and grandchildren knew that your entire existence in this world, everything about you, was about bringing honor and glory to God and getting to heaven? What if your children heard you say that to them? What if your children saw that modeled in your life? What if your children knew that as the father and mother, you are willing to stand as the point man for your family? And they didn't know it just because you verbally said that. They knew it because they saw that. You were the one who was listening for the enemy." That is a powerful idea when it comes to our parenting, isn't it? What if they saw that based upon how you are modeling Christ to them? You know, children watch us, and they do what we do for better or worse, right? Sometimes they say things, and we hear ourselves and exactly what they say. Sometimes they write things, and you can hear your own voice and what they've written down because they are listening even when you don't think they're listening, right? And this could be a great thing. It could also be a very embarrassing thing in the wrong place, in the wrong time, right? It would be great if we could just save up all those good things and just let our kids see those and never any of those bad things. But they're little recording devices, remembering those important things that you're doing and those mistakes that you make also. So it's a blessing and a curse, and our children are going to see us at our very best, and they're also going to see us at our worst. What are we going to show them? What are we showing them? You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul writes, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Now, the picture there, like you can see there, they're imitating the adults that are showing them, hey, this is how you get up on your board. This is how you surf, right? We can learn a lot through imitation, and that's what Paul is talking about. He's saying, you know what, guys in Corinth, brethren in Corinth, look at what I'm doing. This is the way Jesus wants you to act because I'm acting like him. If we're imitating Christ, as Paul told that church at Corinth, what would that look like when it comes to parenting and leading our homes? For better or worse, we tend to become our parents. How often have you caught yourself saying something and you go, man, that sounded exactly like right? Oh man, my dad, oh, I could hear my dad as soon as I said that. That happens to all of us, right? So those things that you're teaching your children, maybe we need to be a little bit more intentional, right? Because they're not going to become accidental Christ imitators, most likely. They're not going to probably accidentally going to look like Christ. They're going to look like Christ because you showed them, much like Paul, what Christ looked like. So that was the first point I'd like to contend to you. Now, Brother Wells, again, and his second point is that leading my family means I sacrifice for them. Leading my family means I sacrifice for them. Now, of course, we can't make that ultimate sacrifice like Jesus made for mankind, but there's still a sacrificial nature of being a parent. Any of you parents in this room, I'm sure at some point you've lost sleep, you've gone without food, you've wiped away tears. There are many sacrifices that you've not bought things you wanted to buy for you because there were Christmas presents that needed to be bought, right? Or there were tennis shoes that needed to be bought or something like that. We make those kinds of sacrifices all the time. Clearly not like the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus. However, in John chapter 10, verse 11 through 15, Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Why would someone be willing to lay down their life for the sheep? And ultimately, why would you be willing to lay down your life, or make sacrifices at least, for your sheep at home? Because they have value. Because your children are very valuable. We have to ask ourselves, why are our children so valuable? Well, once upon a time, I guess children had an extrinsic value associated with them, right? There's a picture of a little girl working in a factory. And it wasn't that long ago when that was legal. Because they had little fingers, right, and little hands. And they could bring home a paycheck, albeit small, to help the family. That was extrinsic value, right? You could have a big family, and those kids could all go to work at a certain age, and they could actually bring home money to support the family. That's extrinsic value. But we want something more than that. We need something more than that. In fact, God has given us something more than extrinsic value in our children. I don't think a lot of children that are sitting here this evening have necessarily brought home a paycheck and given it to the family. I could think about my first few jobs. I don't remember ever giving that to mom and dad and go, here, let me help with the bills, mom. I don't remember ever doing that. But you know what? You have intrinsic value, and you're very valuable as well. And the value is not because of what you do or the work that you perform, but because of who created you. You're created in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 through 27 says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You are valuable because God made you in his image. You're valuable because God made you in his image. And your children are valuable because God made them in his image too. And besides that, they have intrinsic value because they are yours. They're your children, right? They are yours. That's where their value is rooted. There's a big difference between intrinsic and extrinsic value. Extrinsic is when they do work and bring home the paycheck and contribute to the family. This is an extrinsic value. Intrinsic is why I value my children. And because I value them, I would make sacrifices, or maybe even to the point of laying my life down for them. We see an example of this in Luke chapter 15. We see that value in Luke 15, 1 through 7, in the parable of the lost sheep, right? How valuable just one soul is to our Creator. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. So I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. How valuable are your children? Man, just think about the rejoicing in heaven over just the one. How much more important are your many children? Once we understand that, there's no sacrifice too great to protect our children. They're worth everything. And the author in this particular book that I was reading goes in to contend that, you know, that's why we set boundaries when it comes to some of these things, these online tools and these things that can do a lot of good. But there's also a lot of inherent dangers with some of them, whether it's social media or just the being on the phone all the time, right? There are boundaries that need to be set because our children are worth so much. It might mean rules about what types of entertainment they're consuming, because, you know, when it comes to entertainment, we all tend to let our guard down a little bit sometimes. I know some of you at home probably have rules about how much screen time that your children are allowed to have, what rating a movie they're allowed to watch, how much time they can spend a day, who they can talk to. If you don't have boundaries like that at home at your house right now, start tonight. When you go home, sit down and talk about what boundaries you guys need to set up at home to consume maybe less or maybe just better. Maybe consume entertainment that's better. We set boundaries based upon, or should set boundaries, and this is a challenge to me as well, based upon Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. When you watch something, can you check boxes on that list? I gotta tell you, the challenge is me. I know I've watched some things, I've read some things, and they don't check any of those boxes, right? We live in a world that seems to be kind of the opposite of a lot of these things, don't we? So when you're thinking about what type of entertainment should I consume, let's keep that in mind. Philippians 4 verse 8 is certainly a challenge to us to think on those things that are glorifying to our God. And also, when it comes to our families, see yourself as that shepherd who's protecting the sheep, right? We're protecting from wolves, but also in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, think about it in terms of a shield, right? We are protecting our families with a shield in all circumstances. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Even in the time when this was written, an arrow that was on fire was something to fear, right? If the arrow itself didn't hit you, but it had been dipped in something flammable, it could burn down your house. It could burn down your friend's house. It could start a fire at one house that would consume the whole city because they were shooting flaming arrows in there. Just one arrow is too much for our valuable children, right? We want those fiery darts. We want to protect from them, right? And Satan has a number of them, and some of them we don't even see because they're in that digital world, but they abound. They abound whether you realize they're there or not. And that's something that the author kind of goes on to describe some of those things and what to look out for. But Satan's a liar. But he's really good at lying, and he's going to tell your kids what they're going to hear. So our jobs as shepherds, we're going to shield them, we're going to protect them from some of those darts that Satan hurls. Leading my family means I know my sheep, and I think this one's really important. I think this is a really important point too that the author makes here. John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. Why do the sheep follow Jesus? You got to read on. Look at Luke 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why do they follow Jesus? Because they know his voice. They know his voice, and this is really important. How do the sheep know the voice of the shepherd? Well, they spend time with him, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't recognize that voice. They know the voice of the shepherd because they spend time with the shepherd. The shepherd's been there looking out for their needs, making sure they didn't fall, making sure they weren't injured, took care of them when they were sick, kept the wolves away, right? They spent time with the shepherd. They know the shepherd well. I think that's a challenge for all of us as parents. Whose voice or our sheep at home going to listen to? Hopefully they're going to listen to ours. Hopefully they're going to listen to our voice. We want to be the voice they go to first. We don't want them going to a coach, a friend, a coworker, the internet. There's a million places I don't want them to go. I want my children to come to me first. I want my voice to be the one that's the one that they are most concerned with listening to. There's a kind of a scary statistic that Brother Wells gives in this book, and we'll have it up here for you. According to the U.S. Department of Labor and Statistics, The average parent spends 1 hour and 24 minutes per day in caring for and helping children. Just 1 hour and 24 minutes. Now, it's kind of scary. That's kind of scary. If you think about it, your child spent 3 hours playing video games and you spent 1 hour and 24 minutes with them. So this is a challenge for me too, as a parent, absolutely. What, about 32 minutes per day in the physical care of children, 2.4 minutes per day reading to or with their children, 18.6 minutes per day in playing with their children, not counting sports, and 5.4 minutes per day in activities related to household children's educational activities. Sorry, teachers. That's not very long, right? And now these are averages, so hopefully some of you are going, well, that's ridiculous. I spend at least 3 hours a day with my kids. Well, that's ridiculous. We spend 2 hours of homework a day. Great, great. This is not, for that. This point, you've already got this point nailed down, okay? Because they know your voice at this point. But if this is the average, that means some are doing way more, but some are doing way less. And the people in the middle are still only doing, what, an hour, hour 24 minutes? So that's something I would challenge you. If you want your children to hear your voice and you want to be the voice they hear, we're going to have to spend time with them. We're going to spend time with them. I don't know the magic number of minutes that it should be each day, but an hour and 24 doesn't seem like very many compared to the hour spent with teachers, coaches, friends, texting, social media. An hour and 24 minutes doesn't seem like a whole lot compared to those things and those influences. You know, while many of us may have different situations, and like some of you really may have spent a whole lot more time with your kids, and some of you may only get to spend a little bit less, I think it's very important. I think the main word is intentionality. You have to be intentional. But the time that you spend, you know what, I'm going to spend an hour with my kids right now. We are going to play a game. We are going for a walk right now. I want to spend 1 hour just talking to my kid. Or if your kid doesn't want to talk to you, a great way to get them to talk, go for a car ride. You have a captive audience. They don't have a choice. Oh, no, just leave your phone at home. We're good. Hop in the car. Captive audience. You can spend some quality. It might cost you a little bit of gas, but that quality time that you spend with them would be worth it. The relationship, and this is a direct quote from Brother Wells, the relationship you develop with your children in times of peace will pay dividends when the wolves of life come, right? When those wolves come, you're going to get a phone call, right? You're going to get a phone call from your child going, "What, Dad, what do I do? Mom, what do I do?" And they're going to call you first, right? Or they're going to need advice. They're going to come to you first, and that's exactly what we want, because we want to be the shepherd of the home. And if that means we sit down and we have to go to the Bible, if that means we have to sit down and pray about it, if that means we have to get another Christian involved in that conversation to look for advice, they came to us first, which is exactly what we want them to do. You know, think about that shepherd who has spent a lot of downtime with the sheep. When the danger rears its ugly head, and the sheep are, they're ready and eager to heed the voice of the shepherd. The sheep don't know what to do. The shepherd's going to take charge, right? This is how we make sure our children hear our voice over the noise of the world, right? He gives a really good analogy, which I wasn't really familiar with, but sometimes life feels this way. The NASCAR, like a race car, like the pit crew, right? If you think about your home running, like, if your home is just a pit stop, sometimes it feels that way, right? You got somebody doing the gas, you got somebody putting on the tires, you got somebody doing the windshield, and boom, go, right? It feels like that. Sometimes you get done with a weekend, you're like, what just happened? Has it ever felt like some families? Yeah, I see a lot of heads going, yep, yeah, that was this weekend, right? Some of you know exactly what that's like. It's just a whirlwind, and that's part of the intentionality. Don't be just a pit crew only. Don't be a pit crew only. That time that you have with them, be intentional, right? Be intentional. You don't have to always do every activity. If you see it's interfering with the time that you get to spend with your child intentionally, you don't have to do that activity. Or figure out a way you can both share that activity. Or there's alternatives, right? When you see that you're losing that time with your child, It's probably better to give up activities rather than to feel like a pit stop where you just come to sleep and eat and then go out to do the 7,000 other activities you have to get done that week. maybe reevaluate that and be more intentional with your parenting. And lastly, Brother Wells, his fourth point is that leading my family means I must give direction. If I'm going to lead my family, I've got to give them direction, right? And this, John 10:27 is exactly the right verse still. My sheep hear my voice, which was the last point, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. This is the goal for our children. More than we want good grades, successful athletes, and kids with promising careers, we want our children to be sheep. They're all about following Jesus, right? If we instill in them a love for Christ and truth, then some of those other questions about media habit, who you text and what do you watch and what are you doing with, some of those questions just kind of fade away because your children want to be followers of Jesus. So some of those fiery darts, they've learned to build up their own defenses in some areas, right? Like, oh, I don't go there. Like, nothing good happens there. I don't even talk to that girl because I know she's got nothing nice to say to anybody. They can learn some of these things through your direction. But they're going to need that direction, right? If they're going to be sheep that follow Jesus, they need direction. And he lists, the author of this book actually lists three different ways that we can give them directions. And the first one, of course, is the most obvious, and that's the written direction, right? Written directions in the form of God's word. Psalms 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's the written directions right there. We've got to spend time in it with our children, and our children need to see us spending time in it on our own so that they understand, yeah, you know, they spend time in it. Mom, Dad, I see them reading the Bible. That must be important. I better read the Bible too. We set that value, and by being intentional and also by being genuine, right? So written directions are really important. And the second one is almost just as important, and that is the demonstrated directions. Children know when you're being insincere and when you're being sincere, right? They know the difference. If you're just going through the motions. Like, have you ever not really been listening to your child, and they're telling you about the day, you're like, and your kid's like, are you even listening to me? You're like, yeah, I'm listening. You really weren't listening. Right, and you kind of have to start over again, and you have to listen all over again. Children know when you're being sincere and when you're being insincere. You're teaching them even when you don't realize they're watching, and even when you don't realize that they're listening. These are moments that can etch themselves in your child's character. The author calls these silent sermons. If you've ever done something, your children have watched you do something for someone else that was just like a good thing or a really kind thing. They remember that. They remember those kind little things that you do for other people. They're going to remember those things forever, and that's going to help them. That's going to help them, one, they know that you're not just all talk, right? And then you're not just reading the Bible just to read the Bible. They see that it affects you, right? It makes you go out and makes you look for those good works. That example is going to be powerful for your children later in life. I'm reminded of... The author points out about the story of Daniel, about, you know, when Daniel was praying, and they knew he was going to pray because he always prayed, right? And the Bible talks about how he prayed three times a day, and he faced Jerusalem, he opened the windows, and he went to pray, and they knew that's how they were going to get him, right? And even the king, he's like, in Daniel 6:16, he's like, I can't, you know, God will protect you, Daniel, God protect you. And he throws him in the lion's den, and God does protect him, right? Now, that's a silent sermon. He was so dedicated to God, they knew no matter what edict they made, he was still going to follow God. And that, you know, that's written for all of us and as an example for all of us. And, of course, his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, same silent sermon for all of us. Like, I'm going to follow God no matter what. And that's what that type of dedication is what we need to look like as parents to our children. Like, no, we're going to follow God no matter what in this house. I don't care what they do down the street. I don't care what your best friend's family does. In this house, we follow God. This is how we do it. And that's going to mean a lot more to them. Maybe not at the moment. It doesn't always feel fair at the moment, does it? But later down the road, that's going to resonate as their faith builds. And then lastly, and maybe the most obvious way is the verbalized directions. We give directions all the time to our kid. You know, whatever it is. You know, sit up straight. Go, those are dirty. Get on a different pair of pants. Those are dirty. Those shoes don't fit anymore. Like we have these verbal directions that we give them all the time, and a lot of times kids want to know why. Why are we doing this? Why? Why? Instead of coming back with, because I said so, I'm the parent, do what I say, it's probably a good time to have those conversations like, why do we go to church on Sunday nights? Well, let me tell you, we go to church on Sunday nights because of, and you can talk to them about that, instead of it becoming a because I said so. Those verbalized directions like, why don't we do this? Or how come I can't go there? Why can't I do this? Is a great time to talk about morality as it pertains to Christian living and why they can't do something or why they are going to do something. Well, why are we going to the nursing home instead of, why are we going to the nursing home instead of going out to play, Dad? Well, because we're supposed to visit the orphans and the widows and there's James 1:27. We've got to go take care of these older people. Then we can play outside so that they've got that verbal direction as well, and they know that there's a reason behind what you do. Why are we going to church? Why are we praying right now? Why are we studying the Bible? They need to know why the boundaries are the way they are in your home. Now, I don't have all the answers. And this particular book, that particular chapter was very challenging to me as both a Christian and as a parent. Because I realized, you know what, that I can always step up my game, and I hope my message to you as a, if you're a parent, I hope the message is you can step up your game too. It's just a matter of being intentional and showing your children like this is how we do it, this is why we do it, this is why we're doing it. I want you in the fold. Now it's possible tonight you've not yet entered the fold. Jesus is the door. He says he's the door to the fold in John 10. If you want to get into the fold and into the kingdom, then you can do that tonight. You can do that. If you just want to know more, we'll talk to you about it tonight. But you can get in the kingdom tonight. The water's right here. You could wash your sins away in the watery grave of baptism. You could become a new creation. You can do that this evening if you need to. If you're someone who's already done that, and maybe you've lost focus, maybe you've lost heart, maybe you've lost dedication, maybe just let sin creep in. Those fiery darts, sometimes they're aimed really well. Those fiery darts that Satan hurls, sometimes you don't realize it's a problem till it's a problem. And if there's anything that you need, that you need to make known to the church tonight, we ask you to come forward as we stand, as we sing.
Enter the fold of safety.
Please be seated.
Ellen Bailey comes tonight. She came forward. She's sad about the passing of her mom, Carolyn. And we're going to go to prayer right now on her behalf for comfort. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day that you blessed us with. Lord, we thank you for this body of Christians that meet here, our family. And we thank you so much for the comfort that we can bring each other. And for the good times and the bad times that we can share together, but Lord, we know that you're there and that you're there for all of us. We pray that your hand be upon Ellen and the rest of her family and the loss of her mom. We pray that you give her comfort like only you can give, but also help us as servants of yours to offer comfort in a family-like way where we can give her more peace. We pray that you would be with her during this difficult time and that you will give her courage and give her strength and watch over her. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. She did mention that when the funeral arrangements for Carolyn will be in Kingsport this coming Saturday. Visitation will be at 11 to 12, and then the funeral itself will be 12 to 1. That will be at Clark Funeral Home in Kingsport. And we'll make sure to get those details out on the Daily Focus.
Our custom is to have the Lord's Supper, and we're going to sing a song to frame our minds. We'll sing a couple of verses of Come Share the Lord. We
Come share.
If anyone is in need of a communion set, if you'll raise your hand, we'll be brought to you. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne, I pray for these that are about to enter in communion with your Son. Remember, Heavenly Father, that your Son taught when he was on this earth that no one had the power to take his life, but he freely laid it down for us. Heavenly Father, as this emblem, the bread that represents your Son's body that he so freely sacrificed, as these partake of it, I pray it's in a worthy manner. In your Son Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, now as we partake of the fruit of the vine that represents your Son's precious blood that was shed for our sins, pray that these things are done in a manner pleasing in your sight. In your Son Jesus' name, amen. Now let's go to God and pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, we now come before you. We know that you taught all good blessings come from above, and we are truly blessed. Heavenly Father, I pray for this has been returned to you, that it will be used in the upbuilding of thy kingdom. In your Son Jesus' holy name, amen.
There's an interesting phenomena in the Middle Eastern world, and it relates to eating together. They would never eat with strangers, ever. Eating together is only a family thing, and it is characterized by intimacy. So sitting down and eating with someone means that they are close, family, and loved. And so I'm giving you this as a parting song, the last verse of this song. And it talks about eating and drinking with him one day. And remember, it's poetic, so I don't know how soon really is.
Let's go to God in prayer. Loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we bow as we approach you in prayer. Mindful, Father, that we are in need of your guidance and your blessings. For Father, we truly are as sheep in need of being led and directed in the proper ways. And Father, we know that you are all-knowing, almighty, and you are full of grace and mercy. And we thank you, Father, for your care. Thank you, Father, that you allow us to pray to you. Father, we're thankful for this time that we've been able to assemble together as a family, as those who have a kindred faith and hope of eternal life forever and ever with you, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit. Father, as we've listened this evening, we are made to remember that things that we often can take for granted are so important. So, Father, now we pause and give you thanksgiving for the church. Thankful, Father, for families and for the family unit. We're thankful, Father, for our children. Help us to remember and recognize how important they are, and the awesome responsibility that parents have. We're thankful, Father, for all of those who diligently work to train and rear their children. We pray, Father, that we'd all be of help and assistance whenever we can. Father, we're also reminded of the importance of hope and faith. We're thankful, Father, for our Savior Jesus Christ and for the hope of salvation that we have. Help us, Father, to never forget our responsibilities as stewards in our Lord's kingdom, that we have responsibility, and we pray for the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. This evening, Father, we were reminded to consider the concept of being intentional. Father, we do pray that we would recognize the importance of being intentional for those things that are most needed, most valued, and most treasured. Father, we want to pray to you now on behalf of those who are in need of your blessings. We have many, Father, who are recovering from procedures that they've had, and we pray, Father, and thank you for their improvement. Father, we pray for all of those that we know of and care for who struggle with ongoing medical conditions that rarely seem to improve, and we pray, Father, that we'd be encouraged, be of encouragement to those who are dealing with such situations. Likewise, pray, Father, for those who have lost loved ones recently. Help us to encourage them. May they look to you for strength. Father, we pray for our elders here. We're so thankful for their leadership and their willingness to shepherd us and guide us. Likewise, Father, we're thankful for all of our ministers here, for all the teachers who are involved in developing lesson plans and being there as guides in classrooms. Father, we want to pray particularly for our elder Danny, as he awaits an upcoming doctor's visit in Nashville. We pray, Father, for good outcome from that, and we pray, Father, that he will, they'll be able to help him fully recover. And Father, we pray you'd bless his wife and his family. Father, we know that we fail you quite often, and we pray, Father, for your forgiveness. We pray, Father, that we would renew our dedication to honoring you and obeying you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I was asked to share one announcement, and that is that we've been asked to pray for our elder Danny. And according to the note that I got, he does have an appointment. I believe it is at the end of this week on Friday. So this week, be praying for him, along with so many others, that good things will happen in the near future for them. Does anyone have another announcement they want to be shared at this time? If not, then I hope that you will return home safely this evening. We're dismissed.